Thank you for tuning in to the Daily Music Break podcast. The Daily Music Break at www.dailymusicbreak.com covers music from across eras and genres. We're all over the map because that's where the good music is.
Well, today we are talking to Denny Somach. Denny has written a book about Led Zeppelin, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. Hi, Denny. How are you?
Okay. How are you, Carl?
Just fine. Tell us a little bit about the book, starting with the title and what exactly you talk about with Led Zeppelin and how people can get a hold of it.
Yeah, well, my new book is called Get the Led Out, How Led Zeppelin Became the Biggest Band in the World. It's sort of a coffee table type book, and it's available at most bookstores, but the best way to get it is at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. Actually, Amazon has it on sale right now, so that would be the best bet. What it is the ultimate book on the ultimate band. It starts out, the first section is a chronological day-by-day of everything that happened from when they started in 1968 until the death of John Bonham in 1980. It's punctuated with some great shots of memorabilia that I got from personal collections of some of the biggest collectors in the world. The middle section of the book has got 25 interviews that I've done over the years of members of the band, as well as those that were associated with them, like the producers Eddie Kramer and Ron Nevison, people like Joe Perry from Aerosmith, who was heavily influenced by them and also inducted them into the Hall of Fame. Chris Squire from the band Yes, who was a contemporary of Zeppelin's, and also Chris put a little combo together, and they were the opening act for Zeppelin at the O2 Arena reunion show in 2007 that the band did. The third section of the book is basically a discography, and it's been updated to include the most recent release, which is the DVD of the O2 Arena. And it's just come out, and I think if you're a fan, you're going to love it. So I hope people will check it out. And if they want to reach me, the best way is to go to Facebook. It's Denny Somach, S-O-M-A-C-H, stomach without the T, make it easy. And if you respond to me on Facebook, I will respond back. So I hope that gives you a good overview.
Certainly does. Obviously, just about everyone has heard of Led Zeppelin. I guess some people haven't, but everyone just about has. But many people might not be obviously as familiar with them as you are. What was special about Led Zeppelin that allowed them to become one of the very, very top bands? I would say the third top band after the Beatles and the Stones in rock and roll history. What was it that Led Zeppelin did that allowed them to achieve that?
Well, I think it was their approach to the music. First of all, Jimmy Page, one of the founder of the band, obviously, had a unique history of being a session musician, meaning he played on other people's records during the golden age of the 60s. So he knew studio techniques better than just about anybody. He took those techniques with him when the first Zeppelin album was being recorded, and his ability to reinterpret blues music and sonically make it sound incredible. I think it was just his wealth of experience is really what made it in the beginning, and obviously each of the members in the band were great players in their own right. John Paul Jones had been a session arranger player as well. John Bonham was an up-and-coming but considered one of the best drummers. And, of course, Robert Plant had been around for a while, and people had took notice of him, but he just didn't get into the right combination of people until Page assembled this band of four. But I think it was basically the fact that they approached music differently, and Jimmy knew how to produce, and they were a great live band. They played live, and they emphasized live playing over the studio. So that's what made them so magical.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct they never had a single, that everything was albums?
They weren't allowed to have a single in the UK because their manager, Peter Grant, in the UK, if you get a single into the top, I think it's top 20, you're obligated to appear on the show Top of the Pops. So specifically because Peter Grant didn't want the band to appear on TV because he thought that it would lose the element of what made them so great, he didn't allow the record company to release singles in the UK. In America, it was sort of the same thing, but he sort of gave in a little bit when Whole Lotta Love came out. But he never allowed Stairway to Heaven, their most popular song, to be released as a single. So they didn't really concentrate on singles. It was more about the live performance and, of course, about the album.
Mm-hmm. Where, Danny, would you put them kind of in the rock and roll landscape? Where, what is their, it's a big niche, but what is their niche? People, you know, there's the Stones, there's the Beatles, and people associate certain things with those two bands. What's the niche for Zeppelin?
Well, Zeppelin, which actually came out of a band called the Yardbirds, and I've always said that the Yardbirds, after the Beatles and Stones, were the most influential band in rock history, mainly because they had three guitar players. They started out with Eric Clapton, then they had Jeff Beck, and then for a while they had Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck, and then of course Jeff Beck left and Jimmy Page. So just the fact that those three guys came out of one band like that made the Yardbirds very, very influential. However, they never really had the popularity, and they broke up in 68, and when Jimmy started to put Led Zeppelin together, actually they were called the New Yardbirds for a short period of time. So I think they sort of picked up the mantle but just took it to the next level. So I agree with you, behind the Beatles and the Stones, they were the most important band in rock.
Mm-hmm. Is John Mayall like the great-great-grandfather of all these guys?
I don't know if he's great-great-grandfather. He might be the grandfather of British blues or the father of British blues. I think the grandfather of British blues was probably a guy named Alexis Koner or a guy named Graham Bond. They were a bunch of different people that just about everybody from Jack Bruce to Mick Jagger, all these guys played with either Cyril Davis or Graham Bond or Alexis Koner. And, you know, John Mayall was surely on the scene, but I think most people would attribute the whole scene starting from one of the three guys I mentioned.
Beautiful. Again, Danny, please let folks who are listening know how to get a hold of the book. And with that, we thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, the book is available. It's called Get the Let Out, How Led Zeppelin Became the Biggest Band in the World. You can get it at Amazon, most other online retailers, Barnes & Noble. There's not too many bookstores left. But your best bet is to go to Amazon.com because they do have it on sale. And I appreciate you giving me time, Carl, and I look forward to talking to you sometime in the future.
Thanks for listening. The intro music at the beginning of this podcast was the Revolutionary West End Blues, recorded in 1928 by Louis Armstrong, Earl Father Hines, and the Hot Fives. Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Reach me at carl@dailymusicbreak.com. That's Carl with a C. For free email newsletters, to suggest music, or for anything else. Thanks again for listening. Here's Immigrant Song. Bye-bye.